I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. Hebrews, chapter number 13. That's exactly the passage of Scripture that we were working on in the service a little bit this morning. Hebrews, chapter number 13. I'm preaching a series of messages I've simply entitled, The Sight of God. And that is that you and I are trying to discover what things look like from God's viewpoint. That is what the Bible reveals to us about how God views things, what things look like in the sight of God. I've said to you that one of our problems is that we are looking through the lens of fallen, sinful humanity, yet redeemed, but still in this fallen state, in this fallen world. You and I fail to see things from God's perspective, and therefore God sent His Son, and He came down to reveal to us the will of the Father and the purpose of God and who He is, to enlighten our understanding so that we can begin to see things from God's point of view instead of just looking through our lens, and we can begin to look through the lens of God and begin to see what it is that God sees. And in this series of messages, I preach to you about what sin looks like in the sight of God. From Luke chapter number 16, we discover that even that which we esteem is an abomination in the sight of God. In Luke 16 and verse number 15, we looked at what the saints look like in the sight of God, those who are redeemed, and how that we're unblameable, unreprovable, holy in the sight of God in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 22. And then we begin to look at what salvation looks like in the sight of God. We discovered that indeed in Galatians 3:11, that in the sight of God no man can be justified by the works of the law. We discovered that from God's point of view, the only way that anybody can be redeemed is by grace through faith in Christ alone. Not by the works of the law, not by a good life, and indeed not by trying to follow God's commands, but only by mercy, that is through grace, by faith in Christ alone. That's salvation from God's point of view. And so we begin discovering in the service this morning what I simply called sanctification in the sight of God. That is that we oftentimes have, those of us who have believed and received Christ, who have been saved by the grace of God, oftentimes see the Christian life only from our point of view instead of from God's point of view. And that is that we often look at what's going on around us instead of what is going on within us. And that is that we often look at what we are doing for God instead of what God is doing in us. And the Christian life is about what's going on the inside of us and what God is doing on the inside of our hearts, on the inside of our being, in our life. The Christian life, from God's point of view, is about a work that God is doing on the inside of you. And we discovered that phrase in verse number 21, that here's what God is up to: make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Notice now, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's what the Christian life is about. From God's point of view, it is about Him working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. The key phrase that we are using, that is, in His sight, God is working in you that which is well-pleasing. And we have a Bible word that refers, that we discovered this morning, that refers to this work of God in us, and it is the word sanctification. It's a word that means to be set apart. It's a word that is closely related to the word holy and the word saint in the Bible. It's a word that means God is setting us apart from the sinful and the secular and setting us apart to Himself. That God is doing a work of separation in our life, separating us to Himself, that He is making us holy in our life. Let me just remind you, for those of you that may have not been listening very well this morning, the sanctification is found in three different stages in the Bible, and that is, there is positional sanctification. And that's what happened in the past when the Lord saved you. The moment that God saved you, He set you apart from that which was secular and ungodly and made you His special people through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. You were sanctified positionally at the moment of your conversion. And then you can look to the future and you can see one of these days we're going to be sanctified perfectly. That is, we're going to be completely and totally separated from everything that is sinful when Jesus comes and we receive a new body and we with him in heaven one of these days. But in between time, in between our conversion and when Jesus comes again or our life ends, there is what we call progressive sanctification. And that is that work that God is now doing in my life since he saved me until the time that I leave this life. And that work is a work that in which he is making me holy, that he is setting me apart, making me more Christ-like in my life. Progressive sanctification. And it looks as though that's what the apostle has in mind here in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. That is, he's not just talking about positional sanctification that happened in the past and perfect sanctification that's going to happen in the future, but this progressive work that's going on in our life right now in which God is making us holy. That's what the Christian life is about. That's what God is up to in your life. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, Paul said, I'm confident of this one thing, that the one who began that good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is, God began a work in you when he saved you, that he continues in, and that he'll complete or perfect when Jesus comes again one of these days. Folks, in the sight of God, this is what the Christian life is all about. It is about his sanctifying work in your life, on the inside of you. It's not just what's going on around you, it's what's going on in you. Amen? And it's just not what you're doing for God, it's about what he's doing on the inside of you. So if you and I want to look at our Christian life and sort of evaluate ourselves and see how we're doing in our walk, how we're doing in our Christian life, listen, we would have to look at not just what's going on with our hands, but what's going on in our heart. We got to look on the inside. We got to ask ourselves some questions about what is God doing on the inside of my heart? What's he doing in me? Is he working in me that which is well-pleasing in his sight? And so we begin to look at this passage a little bit this morning, and I broke the two verses down into two different main points. And in the service this morning, we looked at verse number 20, where we discovered the person behind this sanctifying work. That is, in verse number 20, we find that the apostle begins to reveal to us who God is, this one doing this sanctifying work on the inside of us. Let me read you the verse. I'll remind you of what I said, and then we'll get into verse number 21. Now, the God of peace... That is, and I'm paraphrasing here, the same God that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that's the same God that's making you perfect in every good work to do his will and working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Do you see in verse number 20, as we looked at it this morning, we discovered the person that is behind this sanctifying work. That is, God is making you holy, and he's the one that is operating you on the inside to make you more like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow you and to sanctify you and to set you apart and to work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. I said to you this morning, it's not your mom and dad that's doing that work, and it's not your spouse that's doing that work, and it's not your grandkids, or it's not your kids. I know it is God who is the one who's behind this sanctifying work in your life. It's not your pastor who can do that sanctifying work. Listen, I can't do that. Listen, I can preach to you, and I can talk to you, and I can pray for you, but there's something more going on in your life than I would ever be able to do, and it's what God is doing on the inside of you. And that's what the Christian life is all about. The Christian life is not being impressed with the personality of a pastor or with a certain style of church. Listen, the Christian life is about God living in you and working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. It's about three things that we discovered about God. I'm just going to remind you of them. I know you all like me to review a little bit. Just remind you that this God that we're talking about, there's three things about him. First, we discovered the peace that God has made with us. The Bible says he is the God of peace. This is talking about a relationship, isn't it? The one who's sanctifying us is the one who has a relationship with us, who has made peace with us through the blood of his son. I spoke to you this morning about the power that God has activated in us. The Bible says this is the same God that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. That is, the key is the resurrection. And that is that God is the one who raised his son from the dead, and it is that same resurrection power that he has activated in us. That is, we've been raised together with him, according to Ephesians chapter number 2 and around verse number 6. And we've experienced resurrection power. And so God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is working in you. Now listen, if God can raise his son from the dead, he can sanctify you. Amen. If he can resurrect his son, he can sanctify you. It's not a problem. God has activated resurrection power. So there's the peace that He's made with us. There's the power that He has activated on the inside of us. And we discover the provision that He has supplied for us. And the key word is redemption. God has supplied everything we needed to be redeemed. Two things mentioned in verse 20. And that's the great shepherd of the sheep. And that is the everlasting covenant. God provided that great shepherd. I tell you, if there's one thing that lost sheep need, it's a shepherd. If there's one thing that those who are strangers to God need, it's an everlasting covenant. And God provided both of them so that you and I as lost sheep could be found. So that you and I who are strangers, Gentiles, outside the promises that God gave to Israel can become a part of His household, the household of faith, Ephesians chapter number 2. Why? Because God made a covenant, new covenant, everlasting covenant, and that covenant includes Gentiles who were separated from God and estranged from Him like you and I. He supplied everything that we needed to be redeemed. And I tell you, if that's true, if God supplied everything for our redemption, don't you think that He's able to supply everything for our sanctification? Oh, He is able, ladies and gentlemen. This is the same God who's now working on the inside of us. Same one who made peace with us, folks. Same one who activated His resurrection power on the inside of us. Raised His Son from the dead. Same God who supplied everything for our redemption is the same one who's now working in us. That is working in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight. That helps me. And the reason why it helps me, because it lets me know I'm not stuck where I'm at. Amen. And that God has enough power to get me out of my ditch where I'm at. And when He gets me out of the ditch, He's able to clean the mud off of me. Amen. And He's able to make me what He wants me to be and get me back on the right track, on the right road for His glory. The God who is behind this sanctifying work. What an encouragement for our hearts. Well, I want you to see not only the person who is behind this sanctifying work, but I want us to focus now in verse 21 for a little while on the person of, the purpose of this sanctifying work. What is the purpose for God doing this work on the inside of us, setting us apart, separating us, making us more holy? Well, let's look at it. Let me read to you verse 21, and I'll give you a few points to think about. Verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. What is the purpose? Well, what is the goal of this work that God is doing in us? That is, if God is working in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight, what is the goal? What's the purpose of what God is doing in our life? Well, I see two main purposes here in verse number 21 that I want to share with you. First of all, God's purpose is to perfect the saints of God. The purpose of this work that God is doing in us is to perfect the saints of God. That's what He says in verse 21. Make you perfect. That's what God is up to. He's up to making you perfect. You say, Pastor, nobody can be perfect. But I tell you that God is operating in your life, moving you in that direction. Amen. You see, here's the problem with you and I. We think the Christian life is, you know, you just kind of try to do the best you can, but nobody can be perfect. But really, this God who raised His Son from the dead, who supplied everything that we need for redemption, is working in us, moving us towards perfection. And you and I need to see that from God's point of view. You see, we need to stop being where we're at. We need to stop just wallowing in the ditch that we get in and realize that God wants to move me in the new direction, that is, in the direction of perfection. He wants to make me perfect. Amen. Now, I know that some of you may get discouraged right about now. You look at your life and you say, I'm so far from perfection. And I realize that that is true. But let me just give you some insight into this word perfect here. It is translated from the same Greek word, which helps me. This helps me a little bit. The same Greek word that was used of the disciples when the Bible says that they were mending their nets. You remember when Jesus found those disciples out there on the Sea of Galilee? And the Bible says that they were there in their boats and washing their nets, and they were mending their nets. Of course, they fished with nets then, and oftentimes as they were fishing with their nets, the string the nets were made of would break, and they would have to mend or repair their nets. There would be a break in the nets, and they would have to mend them. That's the same word that is used here when the Bible talks about the fact that He wants to make you perfect. It's the idea that God wants to mend your net. The idea seems to be that of repairing what is broken. Repairing what is broken, or completing what is unfinished. Or it may be growing what is undeveloped. That is, repairing what is broken It's the idea of completing what is unfinished. And it's the idea of growing what is undeveloped. And that's what God is, that's what His goal is, or that's what His purpose in working in our life is. You see, in my life and your life, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that God wants to repair. There's some broken things in our lives. And the reason why that there's broken areas of our life, whether it be in our character, whether it be in our attitude or in our mindset or lifestyle, there's just areas that are not, they aren't right. They're sort of broken. And God wants to fix those areas. The reason why they're there is because that we are fallen creatures, yet redeemed, but fallen creatures who live in this fallen existence, in this mortal body that is still bearing the marks of the curse. And while we are, there's still yet unbroken, there are broken areas of our life that need to be fixed. I have a feeling that if you and I were to stop and say and give time for testimony, for everybody to stand and testify about areas that are broken in their life, we would have to spend the rest of the evening allowing for testimonies tonight, if we were to be honest anyway. Amen. Yeah, and the reason why is because we're broken creatures with areas of our life that just aren't right. And that's true of every person here, including the one standing. Well, this word perfect gives us the idea that God's really up. The work that He's trying to do in us is this work of fixing those broken areas of our lives. You're not stuck where you're at in your brokenness. Oh no, God can fix those areas of your life. Listen, God's not like I am, and I'm so glad He's not. A lot of times when something breaks at our house, every once in a while I get real lucky and fix something. Amen. And amen, I tell you what, I'm proud of myself when I do. I could tell you some stories about that. Amen. One day, Teresa's car was having problems, and I'm not a mechanic, Larry, at all. But I tell you, I figured out what was wrong with it. I fixed it. The thing ran great. I was so excited, I locked myself out of the house. And sure. Yeah. Crazy. But usually what I do if something's broken, instead of fixing it, you know what I do? Most of the time I toss it. Yeah. Or try to fix it and then have to toss it and get rid of it and get something new, but cars are too expensive for that. But nevertheless, that's sort of what I do. But see, that's not what God's up to in your life. That is, He's not up to tossing you out. He doesn't want to put you on a shelf. He doesn't want to forget about you. He doesn't want to turn you out to the junkyard. God wants to fix what is broken in you so that He can use you and bless you and move in your life. That's what He's up to. He's trying to fix what is broken in us. And I tell you, He's trying to complete what is unfinished in us. Fix what is broken and complete what is unfinished. Now I know that when we think about salvation, we think of it sort of in the past. That is, our conversion experience and what was settled and completed right then. Right then, when you trusted in Christ, God saved you and heaven became your home and Christ became your Lord. And that's a settled issue. Amen. But I tell you that salvation really was just the beginning of something that God was doing on the inside of you. There's an unfinished work that God is doing in you. And He's in the business of finishing what it is that still needs to be completed, to complete what is unfinished in you, in the area of spirituality and spiritual maturity, moving you towards Christ's likeness. God is determined to make you like His Son. That's His purpose in your life, and that work is yet unfinished in your life. I have a feeling that probably just about everyone here, there may be a few of you out there that might be exceptions to this, and I'm being a little sarcastic probably, but I have a feeling that probably most of the rest of us aren't like Jesus perfectly yet. There's an unfinished work, isn't there? This idea of perfecting is the idea of completing what is unfinished. It's repairing what is broken, completing what is unfinished, and it's growing what is undeveloped in our life. Some of you might remember whenever you were a little kid and how that you were growing up. And in the process of growing, you got a little bit taller, or at least a few people did, got a little bit taller. And you grew up, and I'll tell you, you changed and developed and grew and became a mature adult. Well, I'm going to tell you that even so, when you and I got saved, we became babes in Christ, little babes in Christ. And God is trying to grow us towards maturity. That is making a man, that is a fully developed body. The Bible talks about the body of Christ. And God is trying to grow us and He's trying to develop us. And And that's what this word perfect means. It's the idea of repairing what is broken. It's the idea of completing what is unfinished. It's the idea of growing what is undeveloped. It's one of the themes that you find here in the book of Hebrews. Listen to Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 1. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles or the basics of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on," notice now, "let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit." Now he's talking about perfection doctrinally. That is understanding the truth. Not just staying at the basic elements, the basics of the gospel, the basics of what the Bible reveals, but moving beyond that. And he's particularly talking about understanding the nature of Christ as our intercessor, as our great high priest, and how that impacts our life today. And how that Jesus not only died for us and was resurrected for us, but he ever lives for us as our intercessor. And therefore, because he does, he saves us to the uttermost, completely and thoroughly. And ladies and gentlemen, that means that you and I can grow and become everything that God wants us to be. Here's the point. Here's what God is up to. He's up to perfecting you. That's right. That's his purpose. To perfect the saints of God. Repair what's broken in you. Complete what is unfinished in you, and grow what is undeveloped in you, in your understanding of Scripture, in your theology, in what you believe, that is, in the attitude, having the mind of Christ, in your lifestyle, in the way that you live, in your personal walk. God is trying to help you grow in the areas where you have not developed yet. That is moving you towards perfection. Now, there are two particular areas of perfection that I believe the Bible reveals here in the first part of verse number 21. That is, his purpose is to perfect the saints of God. First of all, perfected in the works of God. Perfected in the works of God. Notice what he says in verse 21. "Make you perfect in every good work." Do you see it there? One of the areas where God wants to grow us and perfect us and develop us and repair us is in this area of good works, or in the works of God. That is, so that God can use you in his work. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that this is why God saved you? One of the reasons why God saved you, one of the purposes for which he saved you, is so that he could involve you in his good works. Listen to Ephesians chapter number 2 for just a moment. In Ephesians chapter number 2, the Bible says there that we are not saved by works, but we are saved by grace through faith. Listen to this. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And now listen to verse number 10 now. "For we are his workmanship." That is, when God saved you, he did a work in you without you doing anything. It was his work in you. You were created in Christ Jesus, a new creature in Christ Jesus. But then it says, "unto good works." That's right, you're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, "unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them." Here's why God saved you. One of the reasons why God saved you, that is so that you might be involved in good works. Amen. You didn't get saved by good works, but once you're saved, you start working good. Amen. You start getting involved in what it is that God is up to, in the works of God, that is, in his good works. So the reason why God saved you, one of the reasons, Ephesians 2:10, is so that you might be involved in every good work. But that's not only the reason, not only is that the reason for salvation, it's the purpose for sanctification. The reason why God is sanctifying you, making you more holy, doing this work in you since your conversion, is so that you might be mature and perfect in every good work, so that you might be involved in what it is that God is working in good works. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and you'll be able to see this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 20, he uses the image of a house, a great house, an expensive house where there's lots of utensils. And it says, "But in a great house," in 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, the Bible says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver," that is, expensive, valuable vessels, "but also of wood and of earth," or clay, that is, those that are not expensive and those that are not valued, "some to honor." Well, you put those on a shelf and everybody looks at them. "And some to dishonor, those that are not valuable at all." Notice in verse 21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these," that is, those things that are dishonorable, "he shall be a vessel unto honor, There's the word now, sanctified. Do you see it? Verse 21. Yeah, he says if you'll cleanse yourself from all of that which is dishonorable, you'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart. And listen now, and meet for the master's use. That is, equipped for God to be able to use you and prepared unto every good work. Do you see it? God sanctifying you, setting you apart from that which is earthly and setting you apart for that which is heavenly. That is, setting you apart from the unhonorable, the dishonorable, and setting you apart to be a vessel of honor so that He can use you and equip you for every good work. God is sanctifying you so that He can equip you and prepare you to be involved in everything that He's purposed for you to do. Equipped and prepared, perfected in the works of God. God wants to use you. You'll see it again here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Now, Paul's been writing here to Timothy about the Word of God. He's been telling him, Timothy, just like you heard the Word of God as a child and it made you wise unto salvation, you continue in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. Stay with the Word, Timothy. You keep reading it, you keep believing it, you keep practicing it, and you keep preaching it. And here's why, Timothy, you need to stick with the Scriptures. Are you ready? Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Timothy, is divinely inspired. It's God-breathed. And he says it's profitable. It'll help you. Listen, the Word of God will help you in the area of doctrine so that you'll know what to believe and what to teach. In the area of reproof, that is, it'll reveal to you what's wrong in you. In the area of correction, it's the idea that the Word of God will straighten you out in the areas where you're not going in the right direction. And also for instruction in righteousness, teaching you how to live right. And here's why. So that, or that the man of God may be, do you see the word? It's the same word we're dealing with in Hebrews chapter 13. So that the man of God may be perfect. Yeah, that's what God is up to. That's why you need to stay in the word, because God is trying to perfect you. And he said he's trying to thoroughly furnish unto all good works. That's it. He's trying to perfect you and equip you for every good work that God has purposed for you to be involved in. I'm talking to you about the purpose of sanctification. Why God's working in your life. And one of the ways He works is through the Scripture. Working in your life, He's trying to perfect you. And one of the areas that He's trying to perfect you is in the works of God. So that you can be involved in everything that God has purposed for you to be involved in the works of God. God wants to use you. He wants to use you as an individual. He wants to use us as a church to be involved in what it is that He's doing. You see, the Christian life is not about what we're up to. It's about what He's up to. That is, it's not about you and I figuring out what we want to do and doing it. It's about figuring out the works that God is up to and getting involved in what He is doing. Amen? And I tell you that the purpose of sanctification is to mature us, grow us, equip us, fix us up so that we can mature and grow and be involved in the works of God. Perfected in the works of God, so that God can use us in for His glory and for His honor in the works of God. Perfected. Purpose of sanctification, to perfect the saints of God. Number one, perfected in the works of God. And secondly, perfected in the will of God. Did you notice what it said there in verse 21? It says, make you perfect in every good work. Now notice the next four words, to do His will. Yeah, that's what God is up to in my life. He wants to perfect me. You say, well, I sure am glad. I can't wait for God to do that in my life, because I know that when God matures me and grows me, everybody's going to look at me and say, isn't He mature in the Lord? And I tell you, my names are going to be in lights down there at the church, and everybody's going to want me to do everything, and I'm going to be in control of this ministry and that ministry, and everybody's going to know my name. I mean, is that what God is doing? Is God maturing us and perfecting us so that you and I can be popular at church or wherever we might be? No. He's doing it so that you and I might be able to be involved in His will, doing His will, and being involved in His will, so that the will of God can be accomplished through us, an instrument through which God accomplishes His will, His purpose, and His plan. Listen to me. Sanctification, this idea of being made holy, is essential for knowing and doing the will of God. As a matter of fact, you cannot walk in the center of the will of God for your life apart from this work that God is doing in us that we call sanctification. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us that. Listen to what it says. It says, for this is the will of God. Are you ready? This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And then he adds this, that you should abstain from fornication. One particular area in which you and I need to grow is in the area of immorality. Here's the point. Those who are walking in the center of the will of God are those who are experiencing this work of God in us called sanctification, setting us apart from sinful things and setting us apart to God. So sanctification is essential for knowing and doing the will of God. When Paul was writing to the Romans, he wrote to them about how to prove and how to know the good and acceptable and, yes, even the perfect will of God. Remember that passage in Romans 12? Turn over there real quick and I want you to see it with me. Romans chapter number 12 and verses 1 and 2. This is the Christian life from God's point of view, isn't it? That's right. Verse 2 ends with this phrase, and then I'll back up. That you may prove. The idea of proving is know by experience. That is, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and there's that word perfect again, and perfect will of God. And everything that he said in the verses prior to that is what you and I need to be involved in if you and I are going to be able to prove or know by experience God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. And everything in the prior verses is about sanctification. In verse number 1, he talks about sanctifying your body. Here's what the Bible says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That word holy, closely related to the word sanctification. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, sanctified or holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about laying your body with all of its energy, with all of its ability, with all of its gifts, with all of its talents, with everything that you have. Laying yourself on the altar, setting aside your body, sanctifying your body, setting it aside for the glory of God and saying, God, here I am. Here's my hands, here's my eyes, here's my body, here's everything about my being. I'm laying it on the altar and I'm surrendering it to you. I'm sanctifying my body. Hey, you want to know the will of God? You say, Pastor, I'd like to know the will of God. I'd like to be involved in the will of God. I'd like for God to use me. I'd like for God to use me to be able to do His will in this life. Then you better get sanctified. That is, lay your body on the altar, set your body apart, and say, God, here is my body. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 that our body is not our own anymore. That is, we've been bought with the price, that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and that is that our body now belongs to Him. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And for that reason, if you and I want to be able to walk in the center of the will of God, if we want to experience this perfection the Bible is talking about with related to the will of God, then we've got to be sanctified and we've got to set our body aside and say, God, this is not my body to do with what I want to do, to go where I want to go. Listen, it is your body to do your will. These are your hands, and these are your feet, and these are your eyes, and this is your tongue. And if it's not your will, I don't want to say it. And if it's not your will, I don't want to look at it. And if it's not your will, I don't want to hear it. Amen. If it's not your will, I don't want to go there. If it's not your will, I don't want to touch it or be involved in it. God, here's my body. Listen, if it's not your will, I'm not going to invest any money in it. And if it's not your will, God, I'm not going to invest my resources in it and use my gifts on it. Listen, I want to be in the center of your will. Some of you are riding the fence with regard to your body. You're using the resources of your body. You're using it for things that may not be the will of God. Didn't say that they were evil things. I'm just saying if it's not the will of God, then you ought to separate yourself from it and separate your body to be used for the will of God. Amen? Well, listen, sanctified bodies, but I'll tell you, there's also a sanctified lifestyle. Bible says in verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world. It's talking about a sanctified life. That is, you and I setting aside our lifestyle from that of the lifestyle of the world. The idea of conforming is the idea of forming something or molding something. And that is, don't allow your lifestyle to be molded like that of the world around you. Set apart your lifestyle so that it's, instead of being like the world, it is sanctified by the Word. Sanctified lifestyle. I'm talking about, we're trying to get to the end of verse number 2 where the Bible says, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you want to walk in the perfect will of God, then you got to sanctify your body, and you got to sanctify your lifestyle, and you got to sanctify your mind. Verse number 2 goes on and it says, but be ye transformed, changed from the inside out. Change from the inside out. Now that's what God's up to, and He's working in you, changing you from the inside out, transforming you from the inside out. Transformed, and the way that He does it is by the renewing of your mind. The making new of your mindset, your thought patterns, the way you think and what you believe. That's what God is trying to do. He's trying to repair your mind. Amen. That's right. When I was talking about that word perfect, here's what He's trying to perfect: your mindset. He's trying to repair the way you think and what you believe. He's trying, listen, the areas of your mind that are unfinished, He's trying to develop. He's trying to grow you in the area of your mindset so that you have the mind of Christ, as Paul wrote about in Philippians chapter number 2. Begin to have the attitude of Christ and begin to think like Jesus did. I'm just trying to get you to see what this sanctifying work is about. The reason why God is sanctifying you is to perfect you in the area of the works of God and also in the area of the will of God. The only way you'll be able to know, to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God and be involved in God's will is by sanctifying your body, verse 1. It is by sanctifying your lifestyle, verse 2a. And by sanctifying, ladies and gentlemen, your mindset, verse number 2. That's the only way. Sanctification is essential to walking in the center of the will of God. You'll never know the will of God if you don't set yourself apart. You don't set aside your body, sanctify your body, sanctify your lifestyle, and sanctify your mind. You won't even know what the will of God is, let alone be involved in it. You won't even know what it is. You make decisions without ever considering what the will of God is, just like the world around us makes decisions. And so here's the purpose. That is, the purpose of this sanctifying work is to perfect the saints of God. And the two particular areas in which God is trying to perfect you is in the works of God and also in the will of God, according to the first part of verse number 21. Are y'all still with me? You got just a couple more minutes for me to go ahead and make the second point? All right, maybe 3 or 4 more minutes. But listen, God's purpose in sanctifying us, His purpose is not only to perfect the saints of God, but listen to me now, to please the sight of God. Not only to perfect the saints of God, but to please the sight of God. Look at verse number 21 one more time. I'll just spend a few minutes on this, and then we'll be done. Verse number 21 again. His purpose now in sanctification is to make you perfect in every good work, to do His will. And then notice now, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. You see, God is not only trying to perfect the saints, but He's trying to please Himself. That's right. In God's sight, well-pleasing in His sight. That's the reason why He's doing this sanctifying work in us. Because it is well-pleasing in His sight. You see, folks, in the sight of God, that which is well-pleasing is His work in us. That's what's well-pleasing to Him. You see, God's not true impressed with our performance, but He sure is impressed with His. With what He's doing in us. Can I say this to you? And I know you all will understand it. That a lot of church life, that is the way we view church life in our day, is nothing more than the performance of flesh. In many church settings, it's all built around the performance of flesh to entertain flesh. And I want to tell you, it doesn't impress God one bit. Now, it impresses us. We're impressed with it. You see, today in our day, religiosity and religion and gospel has become a form of entertainment. People are making a lot of money off of it too, by the way. It's become a form of entertainment. And you and I are impressed with it because we are impressed with our entertainment. It's about pleasing our flesh. But it does not impress God. What is pleasing in the sight of God is not our performance, but His. It's not what entertains our flesh, but it's what brings glory and honor to Him. That's why the apostle wrote in the last part of the verse, to Him be glory forever and ever. Listen, if it doesn't glorify God, it's just not very pleasing in His sight. Yeah. That's why God is trying to sanctify us, is because He's trying to work in us that which is well-pleasing in the sight of God. What is well-pleasing in His sight is what He's doing in us. His sanctifying work in us. God is working in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Now listen, did you know that that was the purpose of creation? That is, God created for the purpose, for His own pleasure, to please Himself. Well, listen to what the Bible says in Revelation 4, verse 11. Listen to this verse. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Listen to this. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, why in the world did God create what He did? For His own pleasure, to please Himself. Well, you remember in Genesis chapter number 1, when God was creating all that exists, there's that little phrase that pops up. It pops up in Genesis 1:10, verse 12, verse 18, verse 21, and verse number 25 over and over again. And God saw that it was good. Oh, yeah. God looked at it in His sight. It was pleasing to Him. It was good. As a matter of fact, Genesis 1:31, the Bible says, and God saw everything that He had made, including man, and behold, it was very good. And you know why God created humanity? It's not because God needed us. Listen, God is a holy God who's separate from us, in transcendent above us, so that He's not dependent on us. But God created us because it was well-pleasing in His sight. And when God got done, ladies and gentlemen, it was well-pleasing in His sight. The only thing that was not good is that the man was alone, and God took care of that, didn't He, with His rib and formed the woman. And what a wonderful home He created. God saw everything that it was good. It was pleasing in the sight of God. But I tell you then, sin soon entered into the scene. And I tell you, sin corrupted God's creation so that it is no longer pleasing in His sight. And that includes fallen man. Did you know the Bible tells us over in Romans chapter number 8, verses 7 and 8? Did you know the Bible tells us there that we are no longer pleasing in His sight? Listen to what the Bible says, Romans 8, verse number 7. It says, because the fallen mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The fallen mind of man is not subject to God's laws, and it cannot be because it's fallen and sinful. Listen to this verse. So then, they that are in the flesh, that is those who are unsaved, unredeemed, fallen humanity, those who are in the flesh, cannot please God. Did you see that? Cannot please Him. Now Adam pleased Him after creation. When God looked at Adam, and then when Eve was made, God said, oh, it's very good, pleasing in His sight. And then Adam and Eve sinned against God, and sin entered the scene, ladies and gentlemen. And now there's no flesh pleasing in His sight. The purpose of creation was to bring pleasure to God, to be pleasing in His sight. Sin came and marred that. But it's not only the purpose of creation, then it is also the purpose of redemption. And the reason why is because God sent His Son into the world, died for our sins on the cross, and through His blood, an eternal covenant, an everlasting covenant was established, and you and I, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, our sin has been forgiven. And ladies and gentlemen, not only has our sin been forgiven, but the Bible says God has justified us. He has placed the righteousness of Christ to our account, so that now, according to Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 5, listen, now then we are accepted in Him. That is, in the sight of God. God is satisfied with what His Son has done for us and has been applied to us. Accepted in the Beloved, the Bible says, in Ephesians 1:6. Now in Christ, covered by His righteousness, we're pleasing in His sight. The purpose of creation was to bring pleasure to God. Sin marred that, and so God sent His Son. The purpose of redemption is so that you and I might be brought back into a right relationship with God and be pleasing in His sight once again. So it's the purpose of creation, and it's the purpose of redemption. But let me close with this. This is also the purpose of sanctification. Ever since God saved you, forgave you of your sins, gave you a right standing with Him, He's been working in your life to develop in your life, in your practical everyday life, that which is well-pleasing in His sight. That's right. That's what He's up to. Hey, that's what the Christian life is about. It's not about God making you somebody so that everybody knows who you are. No. It's all about His work in you, working in you, that which is well-pleasing in His sight. You see, the purpose of sanctification is to perfect the saints of God and to please the sight of God. That's what He's up to. That's what he wants to do in your life. He'll use the scripture. He'll use suffering. He uses his spirit who lives on the inside of us. But his purpose is the same, to perfect you and to please himself. The purpose of this sanctifying work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth and for your people. Thank you for the word of God. And Father, I pray that you'll work your work in us. That Father, we might take leaps and bounds as we step towards and move towards this work that you're doing on the inside of us. I pray that you would teach us how to lay our bodies on the altar as a living sacrifice, holy, separated, set apart, acceptable unto you. Father, I pray that you would teach us not to be conformed to the world. I pray that you'd teach us to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that indeed, Father, we might be set apart, sanctified. Father, meet and for the Master's use. Would you do that work in your people? Thank you for what you've already started in the lives of the redeemed. I pray for those who are lost, have never been saved, that your Spirit would so operate on those hearts tonight that, God, they would forsake everything and surrender completely to Jesus and what he did on the cross. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together and just